Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchholes.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 15th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Do you have PL Plus? No, get out of here. This is just for PL Plus members. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Michael Wacha dominated the Yankees yesterday, 7 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 9 Ks. Earned himself a King Cole with a 37% CSW, 18 whiffs as well. He dominated. He really did. This was location central. Sorry, he spotted his pitches really well. Changeups and four seamers and cutters. It's possible he can continue doing this, and he does get the Orioles next. I think I'm okay with it. This is the most excited I've been about Michael Wacha all season long. Blake Snell also dominated, 24 whiffs, earning himself a Gallows pole against the Nationals, 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 10 Ks. His four-seamer was glorious, and just 2 changeups. Yep, this is the stretch that I've been waiting for with Blake Snell. It started happening around the end of July, and boy, is it wonderful to see. Keep starting Blake Snell. Hope it just carries through to the end of the year. Christian Javier did what he was supposed to do against the Athletics. Fastball command was a little bit lower than I'd want it to, but it's all right. It's against the Athletics, and he got himself a win, 0 runs in 6 innings. Brady Singer against the Dodgers. I did not want to start him here because I see him as a cherry bomb, and the Dodgers can mess guys up. 6 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. His sinker earned 9 whiffs in this one, which is insane. 41% CSW as he had 10 whiffs on the slider for those 19 whiffs, 34% CSW. Is he a cherry bomb, or is he more than that at this point? I think you're going to start him against the Rays. So, all right, we're going to do that one. I still have my concerns about Brady Singer because I don't ultimately feel he's that different than the bad self, right? There are days when all of a sudden his stuff just plays up and he hits his locations and things are good. But there are days that he just loses batters. I mean, he still had 3 walks here and his sinker is more hittable. So I'm not quite sold that all of a sudden his sinker is this way different pitch now and that his slider can always be located where it was yesterday. But all right, you keep starting Brady Singer. I'm sorry for all the Debbie Downer stuff. It's just, yeah, there isn't that much different. And that's usually what happens is, I need to see something dramatically different for me to change what we've seen for a long time. Braxton Garrett against the Atlanta Braves, 6 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. He kept a slider down, 42% CSW on that one. 4 seamers were spotted up, sinkers were arm side. Yeah, this worked, and I'm glad to see that as a southpaw. He did well against Atlanta. I guess the Dodgers next, though. I don't really think I'm going to do that one. Chris Bassett now has 3 straight games of shutout baseball. 5 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. He's a 3.27 ERA. Arguably, he deserves an AGA label more so than Kevin Gausman does, so we'll get to that later. But it's really nice to see Chris Bassett blossom. Jameson Taillon against the Red Sox, 7 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. I think he pitched pretty well, honestly. He had a 2-run shot against Devers, reversed that. Devers had a 2-run shot against Taillon. And he also had a double from Pham in the beginning of the game with 2 grounders to get the other run. Only a 19% CSW, but I did actually like the shape of his slider in this one. And he gets the Jays next, which isn't favorable whatsoever, but there is a shot that he does get a quality start. Drew Rasmussen went 8 innings of perfection, and then he allowed a hit in the first batter against in the ninth against the Orioles. 8.1 innings, 1 run, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. It was really nice to see. I mean, this was the best command I've seen all year. Yes, better than the cutter and slider approach that I saw earlier this season. Really, really nice. Cutters and sliders were down. Actually, really, cutters were down. Four seamers were wonderfully up. And the slider is actually not very good. It was just kind of around. He gets the Royals next, so we're going to start Rasmussen there. Bryce Elder. The whole weekend with the Atlanta starters against the Marlins. Really, Kyle Wright, Ian Anderson, and Bryce Elder went Saturday and Sunday. Jake Odorizzi on Friday. Jake Odorizzi, not as celebratory, but the other 3 are all back in the minors now. And they all dominated against the Marlins. Elder went 7 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts. This is a blame it on the Marlins. He did avoid the heart of the plate with all of this stuff. But yeah, he is not this good. You don't need to hold on in 12 teamers because yeah, they have a full rotation. Elder is not above Mueller or Ian Anderson. Martin Perez went against the Mariners, 7 strikeouts, 6 innings, 1 earned run. 9 base runners though, 5 walks, and I think that's a product of his changeup not being nearly as good as we've seen. Just a 7% CSW. It was not precisely placed down and arm side. Now, I've seen that all year. It's really been the sinker and the cutter coming back over the middle of the plate that has given him any sort of issues. This was different. He gets the Twins now. I'm a little bit worried. But then again, one start without the slow ball does not mean all of a sudden he's on the descent. So hopefully he does get that back. Miles Michaelis is not inside, of course. And what do you know? 8 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks against Milwaukee. Only 3 whiffs because, you know, whatever. But yeah, you keep starting Michaelis. Shane Bieber, same thing. Ace is going to ace against the Jays. 7 innings, 2 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. 93 on the fastball, y'all. Not 90.6 as we saw in April and May. Nope. 93. It's about dang time. So his curveball wasn't very good. 1 out of 9 whiffs. But with that better fastball, it does make him less susceptible to the floor, which is great news because he really hasn't even shown his floor much either. And now it's a lower chance of that showing up. So that's great. I hope that sticks around. Aaron Ashby against the Cardinals. 6 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. He almost got a King Cole here with 35% CSW, partially due to his changeup just being in the zone. Pretty hittable, but just being in the zone and the Cardinals not being able to do anything with it. And he got a good amount of strength with his slider. The sinker command was actually pretty cool going arm side more. And not necessarily just down, but just arm side middle, which is nice because that means he's going to be, he's jamming guys essentially lefties doing that. And that's what I want to see. Tucker Davidson went against the Twins. And I've been saying that Tucker Davidson is this kind of sneaky guy. Eventually for the Angels, did not want this one against the Twins. But what do you know? You got to win 6 innings and 2 runs and 4 hits and 1 walk and 3 Ks. Love to see that. That's cool. He gets another Twins, day. And then, he doesn't. He just got one. I apologize. He goes against the Tigers next. Tucker Davidson might be a sneaky stream there. Lance Lynn against the Tigers, speaking of which, 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. Wonderful, got the win. But I want better than a 3 ERA. I don't know, I'm just saying Lance Lynn's the Tigers. You should be able to do better than that, but 20 whiffs. His heater was the 93, 94. That's what you want to see. Good stuff from Lance Lynn. I want to get a little bit more excited, but yeah, I feel good about Lance Lynn right now. Alex Wood went against the Pirates, had a bad inning, allowed 3 runs. But 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. I mean, that's a 1 whip and 9 strikeouts. You're super happy with this. He also went super heavy on the slider. Over 50% usage here. Earning him 13 whiffs on it. It's a good pitch. He does get Coors next, and then against the Twins. So, yeah, don't want to stick around with that one, sadly. Logan Gilbert against the Texas Rangers. 6 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 5 Ks. VPQS is a very poor quality start. It's exactly a 4.5 ERA with a 1.5 whip in 6 innings exactly. You know this by now. Logan Gilbert doesn't have exceptional secondary pitches, and I don't expect them to develop. Tyler Anderson against the Royals also earned nearly a very poor quality start. 6 innings, 3 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. A little annoying that he does this against the Royals after being such a magical addition to your team this year. But yeah, you got to keep starting him. Tommy Henry and Coors somehow did not the worst thing ever, but all right. Tyler Alexander against the White Sox, don't really care. Chris Archer against the Angels only went 4 innings, so you don't care. Paulo Espino is up to 109 pitches against the Padres. You don't care about this now, but later on, he will get a stream, and I'm sure it will be bad, but I'm going to be looking forward to that day. Maybe Espino will be the stream pick of the day. It's kind of become a joke at this point, and I'm really excited for it because I'm stupid like that. Jordan Lyles was our streaming pick of the day against the Rays. 4.1 innings of 4 runs. 5 hits, 2 walks. But he got 9 strikeouts. But yeah, that's not enough. That's too bad. He wasn't a highly touted stream, but still one that I was hoping would come through. Did not. And he gets the Red Sox next. So I mean, the whip is super high overall. Just don't do it. Keegan Thompson, this is the floor here. 1.2 innings, 4 runs, 5 base runners, 2 Ks. He needed 70 pitches for those 5 outs. This is the floor that we're avoiding. Cole Irvin, we're hoping he would grow his legend here against the Astros. 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I going to butter my bread with this? Fortunately, that's the case. You can start him against the Mariners next. Kevin Gausman against the Guardians, 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. Frustrating to say the least. He should not have his aces gonna ace label with that terrible whip. He gets the Yanks next. I think I'm still gonna do it, but yeah, he's in that fourth tier now. Ryan Feltner against the Diamondbacks, 4.1 innings, 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. We don't care. Same with Zach Thompson and Justin Dunn. Zach Wheeler had this really bad inning against the Mets and a lot of unfortunate hits. 6 innings, 6 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. What are you gonna do? You know, you just kind of move on. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's starters. You have Gerrit Cole, Shohei Ohtani, Joe Musgrove, Luis Castillo, Sandy Alcantara, and Julio Urias today. Pretty obvious stuff there. Spencer Strider, Alex Cobb, Carlos Carrasco, Marcus Stroman, Jose Urquidy, Joe Ryan, and Aaron Savali are in the second tier. So always getting the Tigers, I like that. Joe Ryan against the Royals seems good, and all the other ones are pretty obvious against bad opponents. Spencer Strider against the Mets is a little intriguing, but the ceiling is just so high, and he's not going to go 2.2 innings again. Questionable start tier, Josiah Gray against the Cubs. You got to kind of do that one. Noah Syndergaard against the Reds. It's a little risky, but you kind of maybe do that one. Then you get some streaming options of James Capillion versus Glenn Otto. On which side do you want to be on? I'm going with Jimmy Hatt. I think his stuff is a little bit more consistent than Glenn Otto's, but you can go either way if you want. I don't really love these streams. The way better one tomorrow is Justin Steele. We'll get to that in a second. Justin Steele. Freddy Peralta also goes against the Dodgers. He's at the bottom of the questionable start here. I don't know if he's fully ready yet, and the Dodgers are the Dodgers, so be careful there. And then do not start here. You can consider Madison Bumgarner against the Giants and Connor Pilkington against the Tigers. I don't really love it, so I don't want to do it. I don't think the ceiling is high enough for either one. Chris Bubich has been doing well. He went 93 miles per hour his last start. He's actually the most searched guy on our site last week. He gets the Twins, though. And I know he did against the Twins last time, but I don't want to take the chance again. Johnny Cueto gets the Astros, and I want to avoid that. Jose Kikuchi is not worth it. No, neither is Mike Minor, Drew Hutchison, Ryan Yarbrough against the Yankees, Kyle Bradish, nor Brian Garcia. Looking forward to tomorrow. Justin Verlander, Alec Manoah, Robbie Ray, Dylan Cease, Nestor Cortez, and Brandon Woodruff are all in the top tier. Cease and Woodruff have tough starts against the Astros and Dodgers, but you're still doing it. And Nestor Cortez gets the Rays. Probable start, you have a lot of interesting names here. You have Charlie Morton at the top against the Mets, akin to Strider. I think it's just worth it. But then I'm leaning with Zach Plesac because I feel he just dominated the Tigers and he should do it again. Sean Manaea, Merrill Kelly, Jose Quintana, and Justin Steele all get really good matchups here. And Justin Steele being the stream pick of the day against the Nationals. Edward Cabrera, Sonny Gray, and Tywin Walker close it out. Edward Cabrera goes against the Padres. That offense hasn't been as good as we've said. So he's been good and the Padres haven't. So all right, here you are in the probable start tier. Sonny Gray's breakers are not there. And even though it is the Royals, I'm a little worried. Look a touch. Tywin Walker hasn't been as smooth, but I think he's going to be okay against Atlanta in a revenge game for his 8 earned run game that should not repeat itself. Questionable starts here. You have Jeffrey Springs against the Yankees. Yankees, are they struggling? And Springs just looked good, so maybe you want to go with that. And Nick Pivetta and Kyle Gibson are both coin flips, even though they have good matchups. Pivetta against the Pirates, I know, but Pivetta really isn't that good right now. While Kyle Gibson going into Cincinnati is a little bit different than hosting them. And then do not start here. Jose Suarez and JP Sears are the only intriguing ones, as Suarez just did well, but I don't really buy it lasting as he faces the Mariners, while JP Sears did well in his first start, but the command wasn't quite there. I think he's not a finished product as he goes against the Rangers. Jacob Junis, Zach Greinke, Dean Kramer all have either bad matchups for Greinke and Kramer, while Junis, is he going to last 5 innings against the Diamondbacks and his stuff isn't quite as good? I just don't want to do it. Garrett Hill, Kyle Freeland, Mitch Keller, etc. Don't want to do this. It's just not worth it. Keller goes against the Red Sox, by the way. He could be considerably questionable if it's a really good matchup. It is not. Looking forward to the list today because it is Monday, and what I do is I give you a quick preview as I look through the list and just give you my general thoughts of who's going to move and what's going to happen. The top tier, I don't really think I'm going to make much movement. Maybe Justin Verlander going up a little bit over Wheeler, but yeah, probably. I'll probably do that one, and that's about it. I might move down Shane McClanahan given the recent trend too underneath Justin Verlander. You have in the second tier, nothing changing. I'll probably put Cease above Manoah. I think that needs to be done. But that's about it. Third tier, Gausman is going to fall to the fourth tier. Loses ace is going to ace. Tony Gonsolin, I think, should not have it either. while Luis Castillo comes into the tier as he has his aces gonna ace tag. Fourth tier, I want to raise up Bassett to 24, probably actually 23 with Gausman going in Gonsolin underneath him. So I guess that puts him into 22 range. But he's close to getting his aces gonna ace tag. Nothing else here. Frankie Montas, I might move him down. Blake Snell goes to the tier four at this point, of the stretch that he's on. You can make a case for Nestor Cortez also joining him. But otherwise, I mean, not too much. Detmers keeps going up. I do want to pull down Luis Garcia maybe into the sixth tier. Detmers goes above Tyler Anderson, for example. Look, there'll be some little shuffling around here, but nothing too drastic. Tier six, I need to pull down Lodolo and I think maybe Luzardo. Tier six isn't too interesting. I may want to pull up guys from seven to six, something like that. But there is, I think, really after tier five is a major drop off into tier six. I don't know. I don't know quite yet how I'm going to work this one out. Maybe I'm pushing up Edward Cabrera a bit here. Tier eight, nothing really of note. Probably going to pull down Braxton Garrett after the Philly start. I don't like how I just said Garrett. Brady Singer goes up to the top of tier nine. Might go into tier eight. Yeah, nothing too crazy here. Maybe Quintana goes up into tier six as a solid Toby that you should be trusting more. Maybe Wainwright joins him as well. I think that's right. Quintana and Wainwright go into tier seven, is what I mean to say, as they join like Jordan Montgomery and Carlos Carrasco. Maybe Tom Walker falls. We'll see. Tier 10? I keep saying these weird ways. Doing these weird names of it. Justin Steele goes into tier 9 at the very least. Otherwise, not too much. Am I going to reward Drew Rasmussen that much? Maybe. I might put him into the Toby tier. But I think Tyone Herman and Cueto kind of stay. Tier 11, yeah, nothing changes here. Chris Flexen goes, of course. Mitch Keller maybe falls. And in tier 12, no, there's nothing interesting here. Adrian Martinez, has he even made a start since I put him here? Sadly, no, and I'm really upset about it. As far as guys coming back, I'm going to look at the injured tier right now to see if there's anyone that you guys are wondering where they slot in. Oh, Lance McCullers. Where would Lance McCullers slot? Likely in tier 6. Yeah, tier 6 is maybe even tier 5, arguably. But he's above that tier 7 crew, I think. He's above like the likes of Jesus Luzardo and stuff like that. Otherwise, maybe JP Sears will make an appearance this week. Maybe Daniel Lynch. We'll see. Kyle Quantrill should deserve a spot back if you're doing well against the Jays. But that's about it. So, all right. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for supporting what we do. Enjoy the list today. It'll be out at 1 o'clock, or not out at 1 o'clock. The stream will start at 1 o'clock and I'll be out around 5 or 5:30 or so. Well, that's going to do it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock and may your bat below in your strikeout time.